We just sang together from Psalm 49, where we find that no one can give a ransom to God for his soul. There is no wealth in this world that could pay for the soul of a man. It's incredibly costly to pay the ransom price for men. So no gold or silver could purchase that. But today we are going to find out the one precious element which could indeed and does indeed purchase the souls of men, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's turn to John chapter 14. His very well-known words in John chapter 14. It's found on page 1045 in our Pew Bibles. Our text starts in verse 6, but we're going to start at verse 1. John chapter 14, we're going to read 1 through 14. John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Particularly, our text, our focus, is found in verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how unique is Jesus Christ? How unique is the one whom we worship and adore? As one of the questions Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, understanding the role of Jesus Christ, his uniqueness, the fact that there is no one like him, there is no one who can do what he does, is vital to a true and living faith. And it sets the Christian faith apart from every other religion, every other belief on the face of this earth. A few months ago, you may remember a news report when a professor at an area college, a Dr. Hawkins, stated that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. This particular professor wanted to show her solidarity with the Muslims, and even being from a Christian university, said that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. And when it was threatened that she would be fired, the majority of the staff at this Christian university defended her position and signed a petition in order to keep her on as a professor. Well, is that true, congregation? Is it true that Christians and Muslims worship the same God? Is that true? It is true that Christians and Muslims and Jews all recognize that there is one God. They're monotheistic. But does recognizing that there is only one God the same as recognizing the same God? When a religion states that God is one, does that mean that we are all worshiping the same one true God? Well, today we are going to see that in our passage in John chapter 14, Jesus is not only revealing that there is one God, but that there is only one way to this one God, that there is only one way by which men can be saved. Now, we live in a world that prides itself in being inclusive. That's kind of the buzzword of today. Everyone wants to be so inclusive. Embrace everything. Everything is allowed. Nothing is forbidden unless you confess and believe that there is an absolute truth. If you ever state that something is wrong, then all of a sudden your position is rejected. It's not allowed. So we live in a world which wants to believe everything and at the same time acknowledges that if you are a Christian, you're different. Because a Christian says that not everything is the same. There is only one God, and there's only one way to this one God, even Jesus Christ. So we start then with a radical divide, a radical and extreme separation that has developed between God and men. So that as our passage opens in verse 6, Jesus says, second part of that verse 6 there, no one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says. It's not that most people or some people or a few people can come to the Father. Jesus says that no one, it is impossible for man to come to the Father. There is such a radical divide between fallen man and a holy God that it is impossible for man to come to God. One of the problems with the religions of this world is that they are soft on sin. They have no view of iniquity. They don't rightly view the state of man. And they underestimate the holiness of God. So they overestimate man's ability, and they underestimate, they bring down God, bringing him to our own level, so that having a man, a fallen man, approaching a holy God is seen as insignificant, easy. Anyone can know God. Anyone can come to God. But when we take into account the biblical teaching of the holiness of God, that he dwells in unapproachable light, that no sin, no iniquity can dwell in his presence, and the depravity of man, that we are fallen sinners, born in iniquity, unable to do anything good from the time we are conceived in our mother's womb, the truth is that there is a radical divide between God and men, so that Jesus says, no one can come to the Father. It's impossible because all men are sinners. No man has the ability, and no one has the desire. No man in and of himself has the desire to come before a holy God because man is dark. He's sin. And darkness flees from the light. When Jesus Christ came into the presence, men loved their sin more. We want the darkness. It's impossible for men to come to God because we are ignorant. We don't know the way. There is an extreme chasm. No man, by his own ingenuity, by his own ability, even by his supposed good work, can bridge the gap between a holy God and a fallen man. A holy bridge from earth to heaven is one that man cannot construct. The two are separated, God and man, and they will never, by man's ability or man's desire, be brought together. As Isaiah rightly confessed, remember what he said when he came into the presence of the holy God, when he saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up? How did Isaiah respond? Woe is me. I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people who are rebellious. Woe is me. So the first thing that we have to understand as Christians is our definition of man and our definition of God sets us apart from every other religion in this world. Man is a sinner. God is angry with sin and with sinners. He's hostile towards us and we are hostile towards him. We have two parties that are at extreme opposition. And the solution cannot come from man because man is the problem. Every other religion in this world starts with man. Man does something. Man finds the solution. Man fixes it. But as the Bible teaches, as the truth teaches, man is the problem. And that curtain in the temple which barred the way to God's presence proved it. No one can come to the Father. The way is blocked. All fall short of the glory of God. No one seeks God. No one understands. No, not one. So there is an extreme divide. Now I can illustrate what most people think. When it comes to the religions of this world, most people think that religions are like paths leading to the top of the mountain. That at the top of the mountain, a Zeus is sitting up there, or whoever you want to call him, sitting at the top of the mountain, and whatever path, whatever religion you take, it winds around and eventually brings you to the top. That's what the religions of this world teach. But this simply is not true. This is man's thinking. The truth of the matter is there's only two paths. There is the broad path and the narrow. The path that is easy and the path that is lined with difficulty. So how can God and man be reconciled? Well, the solution does not come from man. The solution comes from God. And as you still have your Bibles open in verse 6, those blessed word. No one comes to the Father except. That's the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? No one comes to the Father except. We were left without hope, but all of a sudden we have that blessed word, except. Except through me, Jesus says. There is good news, there is hope, because Christ has come. There is a bridge that has been constructed between earth and heaven. And that bridge, that ladder, is Jesus Christ. There is a way. Our text says it is Christ. Notice Jesus does not say, I am an option of one of many. I am not a way. I am the way, singular, definite, the only way. Unless you come by Christ, you cannot go to God. You cannot stand in his presence. As Isaiah 43 verse 11 says, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other Savior. There is no way to come to God except this one true way. The fact is coming into God's presence, receiving any blessings from God's hand, are found only in Christ. So that as Jesus continues in verse 9 and 10, if you want to come to the Father, you need to come to me. If you know me, you'll know the Father. If you have me, you have the Father. If you want to come to the Father, I am the way. There's no other way but me. Now this is proven in two ways. The singularity, the uniqueness of our deliverer is found first off in his mediation, in his atoning work. Through his giving of his life as the one sacrifice to pay for our sins. This way is the only way that we can come into God's presence. Now remember what we learned in the Old Testament with the temple. There was that curtain which blocked the way. You couldn't go into the holy place. You couldn't go into that the presence of God. No man had the right. But there was one man who came, who went once a year. What did he do? He came into the holy presence of God with blood. If he didn't come with blood, he would be consumed. So if man is going to come into the presence of God, if man is going to pass through the curtain, the only way that man can come into the presence of a holy God is if there is blood on him. Not his own blood. The blood of the mediator, Jesus Christ. So the first way that Christ is unique is through his atoning work. There's the religions in this world do not have a concept of the sacrificial atoning work of Christ. And the second way that Christ is unique is his teaching, where Jesus says, I reveal the Father. I am the source of truth. He says, I am the truth. The only way we can rightly know God is through the work of Jesus Christ. Although it may be that the other religions in this world may say, well, Jesus, he was a good guy. He set a good example. He was a great teacher. He was a prophet. That's not saying enough. It doesn't speak the truth. Because if Jesus was only a good man, if he was only an example, if he was just a teacher, how will we be saved? He needed to die. He needed to have his blood shed. As I said in the introduction, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And how you answer that question really determines if you have a right understanding of the Christian faith. Is Jesus unique? As Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is unique to the Christian faith. That Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead. That there is no other name, as Acts 4 says, no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. That is unique and it is exclusive. But also extremely generous. Because our passage in John 14 could have stopped at the end of that first little part you read. No one comes to the Father, period. But God in his grace continues by saying, accept. Accept blessed words. It is extremely exclusive, but it is extremely generous because a way has been opened. A Savior has been born. There is a way for fallen men to come into the presence of a holy God, and it's through Christ who is the way. A way for sinners has been made. And God provides it. God provides it through Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the joy of a Christian. That although we are born in our sin, Christ has been sent. And through Christ's death, his atoning work, is that sacrifice, we can come into the presence of a holy God. That's the good news that we have, that the world so desperately needs to hear. So then, a Savior has been born, a path between God and man has been established, a bridge between heaven and earth has been constructed by way of Jesus Christ. And in our third point, we come to, who then are we? Who are we? Are we slaves? Or are we sons who know our master's business? Are we born of the free woman, or are we children of slavery? Are we sons of Sarah? Or sons of Hagar? How you view Christ answers that question. How you view his work determines who your mother is. If you are a child of Sarah, a child of the covenant, a child of the promise, then you recognize that Christ is the unique, the only way by which we can be saved, that faith in him, trusting in him alone, is the way in which we are delivered from our sins. But if you are a child of Hagar, you are a child of the law, you look at your life as something you need to do in order to earn God's salvation. Being a child of Hagar means that you view your life as a meriting something from God. Because if you boil it down, every other religion in this world is man-centered. It's what man does. Man is a determining factor. What do I need to do in order to gain, to earn my salvation? But the Christian is one who says Christ has done it. Instead of killing others in order to gain the praise of Allah, Christians sacrifice themselves, putting their sins to death, taking up their cross, and following Christ with a heart of faith. Those who are in Christ are changed. They're slaves no more, set free. Set free to follow triumphantly, following Christ from victory unto victory. The fact is that being a Christian changes not only our status, it changes how we act, how we view others, and how we view this world. If every religion is equal, what's the motivation for missions and evangelism? Why would we tell our neighbor about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ if it doesn't really matter? If Christianity is not unique, if we're serving the same God as the Jews and the Muslims, why would we even tell them about the uniqueness of Christ? If every path leads to the top of the mountain, let them be. It doesn't matter, right? They'll be fine. But that's not the gospel. That's not the truth. The truth of the matter is, unless you are united to Christ in faith, unless you are holding him, clinging to him with that belief and trust and dependence, you're lost. There's only one name under heaven. Only one way in which we can be saved. So it is. Without Jesus, we cannot know God, nor can we serve him. But praise be to God, Christ has come, who has revealed himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And since we are now united to Christ, we are commissioned by Christ to go and tell the world the truth, to reveal that a way, the way, has come, and to tell them that life is possible, true and eternal life, because of Jesus Christ. That is the uniqueness of the Christian faith. Unique good news that you and I have, that the world so desperately needs to hear. That the way has been opened, that we can be saved, that sinners can come into the presence of a holy God because the precious blood of Christ has been spilled. To conclude, how we view God determines how we approach him. Who is God? What is he like? How we view ourselves determines what stock, what emphasis we place in our own abilities. How we answer these questions makes all the difference. But the fact is, we too in our sins, we too sometimes think less of God than we should. We sometimes think more of men and ourselves than we should. I know that I can probably say here, most of us know a neighbor, a friend, a coworker who is an outstanding citizen. They are extremely moral. They are great neighbors. They go out of their way to help. And in the back of our minds, we think, you know, maybe this one will be all right. But it's not a question of what we do, is it? It's not a question of what our neighbors do, is it? It's a question of who you know. Right? We can fall into that same temptation where we can think, well, maybe I need to meet God halfway, or maybe my moral neighbor will be all right. But it's not a question of doing, is it? It's a question of what has Christ done? Who are you trusting? Who are you believing? Do you know the way? So your moral neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ stands in need of the very same salvation that you and I need, just as much as those who are in prison need to hear the same gospel, that there is one Savior, one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. There is a way that has been opened. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Nor could we approach God, dare to approach God, while trusting in ourselves. As Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is exclusive. So come to the Father now. Come to Him without trusting in your own abilities, without looking to what your own hands have done. Come to the Father now, depending completely in Jesus Christ. For those who come to the Father in the name of the Son will never be turned away. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus, the Savior who has been born, so that the way into your presence could be known and revealed. We thank you for giving us that glorious gospel, which is the good news for the whole world, that our world needs to hear. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened a way through Jesus Christ, the way. May we, as your people, grow in our complete dependence and our complete reliance on you, and motivate our hearts, move our hearts with joy and thanksgiving, so that we want to tell others about the unique work of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.